Now we bring to these microphones broadcast partner Rabbi Yoel Karen. He's in Jerusalem area. We want to talk to him about several items that have come up in the news this last week. And they focus, of course, as always when we have a conversation with Yoel Karen, on either the Temple Mount or the preparations to build the next temple. And Yoel, last time we had a conversation, we were talking about a new campaign that had been put in place for the purpose of trying to excite Jewish people to go up onto the Temple Mount to make a visit. Several of you, you and others, have opportunities to take groups up and teach them there on that very sacred piece of real estate for the Jewish people, the Temple Mount, in the old city of Jerusalem. But now there's a report coming out. The police have stopped the leader of this campaign, Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who was associated with the Temple Institute. He pulled away for the purpose of trying to excite people about visiting the Temple Mount. He has classes. He goes up. He tours that area. You know him very well. Now they are banning him from going up onto the Temple Mount. And in fact, I think he has said he's going to go on a hunger strike. This is pretty serious business. Why did the police change their method? They seemingly were letting the Jewish people go up on the Temple Mount. Why did they change their decision about that? And then why are they focusing on Yehuda Glick?
Well, it all comes down to what happened the week before with the guys who were up there, and they brought out an Israeli flag and they started to pray and bow down in front of the Holy of Holies. And this is how the police punish them. They take the people who they know are their leaders, and they ban them from going up to the Temple Mount. And this is just a game that the police play. It's their way of slapping their wrists and giving them a punishment.
Well, then, if that be the case, why in the world would those young men or whoever it was go up there and start that type of an activity, which was going to cause the police to have to respond in some way?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly why. And this is a conclusion that I came to months ago, and Moshe Feiglin has come to himself as well. The time has come that playing nice just isn't going to work anymore. And Moshe Feiglin made this call just a few months ago where he said, we need 1,000 people to show up and be willing to get arrested. And we don't have 1,000 people who are willing to get arrested, but what we can do is every time a group of us go up, one or two people need to be willing to do something to get arrested. And not just do something, do what is our natural right, what is our God-given right, what is our commanded, we're commanded to come to this place and pray and bow down to God. And that's all we're doing, and we need to be willing to go to jail for it. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why they would do it, and that's why Yehuda Glick is going on a hunger strike. I don't agree with that. I really wish he would reconsider. I hope he does. I don't think it's a very Jewish or a very biblical thing to do anything to hurt yourself, no matter what the goal is. I don't think it's a good thing to do something that could possibly harm yourself, so I would hope he would reconsider that. But, you know, he's at his wit's end, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to push the envelope and to get the government to wake up and listen and see that our rights as Jews, as human beings, as God-fearing people are being trampled on.
Do you believe that the police are going to pay attention to this, or are they just going to continue their hard ways?
I believe they'll pay attention. I really believe they will. You know, again, the police don't really... mercy and things like that don't come into the police's mind. What comes into their mind is pressure from above them and who can make them the most trouble. If they think if they're afraid you're going to come and throw rocks and bottles like the Arabs, then they sit up and they take notice. And it's very true. A police commander said this to a friend of mine years ago. He said, you know, we're not asking for everything. Just give us a little corner to pray in. And he says, I can't give you anything until you get a few thousand Jews to show up here with rocks and bottles and sticks.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
Yeah, that's calling for action. It may not be what needs to be done in order to accomplish your ultimate goal. Well, focusing now on something else that has been reported this last week, and that is a mikveh. Now, I'm going to have you explain to our listeners what a mikveh is, but it seems to be a pretty important place and an activity that would be a precursor to ultimately going up onto the Temple Mount with the temple up there.
Absolutely. What we have to understand is, first off, that there's a system of ritual purity, which for the most part, Jewish people are not living by right now, because most of it has to do with the sanctuary and coming into contact with the sanctuary in different areas of the Temple Mount. So for the most part, the Jewish people aren't living by this system of purity and impurity and making sure that they maintain this purity when coming in contact with God's house. So this is where the idea of the mikveh comes from. At many, many places in the Bible, in the Torah, you'll see God saying that and the person must go out and wash their clothes in water, and they must bathe themselves in water, and they'll be unclean until the evening. And various times of the year, and after childbirth, a woman becomes impure, and she has to immerse herself in living waters, and then she becomes pure. This is what a mikveh is. It means a collection of, and it has to be living waters. It can't be just stagnant water. It has to be fed by a spring or some source of what we call living waters. So this is what a mikveh is. And there are tons of these things you can see from the Second Temple period and even back further around the Temple Mount. They've excavated, and you see them. There's a divider in the center where the person would go down. He would descend in impurity into the water, immerse himself, and this is where the idea of baptism comes from, and then he would cross over to the other side while he's in the water and come up the other side of the divider in a pure state. And there's a stone divider there, so the impure going down into the water don't come into contact with the pure coming up out of the water. And so one of these has been renovated by a very generous philanthropist, a man that I know very well. It's been renovated, modernized, updated for being used again. A 2,000-year-old mikveh has been set up, and it's being set up for the use of women, because we generally have issues that, for various reasons, the mikvaot, these mikvahs, these pools that we have the Jewish people use all over the place, for the various reasons that we do use them today, they're only open for women at night and for men during the day. And this is a long-standing old tradition, and that none of that applies to going up to the Temple Mount. When you're talking about going up to the Temple Mount, the mikveh needs to be open all the time. So anytime a woman wants to go and have access to the Temple Mount, the places that she's allowed to go on the Temple Mount, she needs to be able to immerse in living waters and purify herself. So they are reopening this 2,000-year-old mikveh strictly for the use of women and strictly for preparation to go up to the Temple Mount. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing. The government is behind it. And I can't be happy enough about this. Every now and then something good happens, and this is one of those good things. This is going to make it so much easier for thousands and thousands of women who've wanted to visit the Temple Mount and couldn't because of ritual purity issues.
Wow. Well, I love to hear the excitement in your voice about this renovated mikveh that will be used for the women. Now, there are other mikvehs right there as you approach those steps leading up onto the Temple Mount there at the southern end of the Temple Mount for men. Is that correct? And have they been using these before they would go up?
No. Those are still there. You know, they're dry pits. They're just archaeological sites to be used. This one has been, you know, repaired, made watertight, a building built over it for, you know, so no one can see you like it would have been back in the old days. And it's been set up for the use of women, because there's so many modern, brand new mikvahs all over the place for the use of men. There's one right in the middle of the Jewish quarter, and you can see men lined up there every day that they go and they use this pool. But there's nothing for women to use during the day, and because there was never a need for it before the Jewish people came back into their land and got access to the Temple Mount. This is the first time in 2,000 years there's ever been a need for such a thing.
Wow, what a report. And some good news, finally, as we talk with Rabbi Yoel Karen. Well, one final thought for you, Rabbi, to get your comments on. There is one of the ministers in the Israeli government, the Minister of Economy, Bennett, and he has come forth to say that indeed there is not going to be a division of the city of Jerusalem. Meaning, of course, that in the negotiations between the Israelis and the Palestinians, he's made a decision. He's going to work towards the fact that there's going to be an unbelievable amount of ministers of Knesset who have to vote for a division of Jerusalem. And, of course, that would have an effect. If Jerusalem is divided, that would keep the Jewish people, if indeed the old city was a part of the Palestinian state, from going to their sacred piece of real estate, the Temple Mount. So this is a very important decision that's going to be made, is it not?
Absolutely. It's and I got to tell you, this guy, Naftali Bennett, has so far, his term, he hasn't been seated in his term very long as a Knesset member, but he and his party have really, really stuck to their word on everything they said. And he's been a very good guy. And when he says that the Jerusalem isn't going to be divided, I don't believe it's like when Netanyahu says it. Naftali Bennett says it, and he means it. And he keeps his word so far. So far, so good. So I'm really happy, and I'm very impressed with what he had to say.
Well, the city of Jerusalem does belong to the Jewish people. And whether they are negotiating today that it might be divided, that has no effect on what God's word says about the future. And we can look, of course, with assurance to God's word, can we not?
Absolutely. That newspaper has already been written, and there's nothing that's going to be done to change those headlines. The city of Jerusalem belongs to God, belongs to the Jewish people forever. It's the place where God put his name forever, the apple of his eye. Nothing's going to change that. And all of these stories, and Netanyahu putting this extreme leftist, humanist, atheist in charge of these negotiations with these Arabs, none of that makes me nervous, because I know these people come and go. The government changes these people like they change their socks. They're in and they're out all the time. They'll come and go. Jerusalem is a anvil that has worn out many hammers.
And it is the eternal city, the undivided eternal city, according to God's word, belonging to the Jewish people. And the Lord has a special, special plan to dwell among his people there. Well, it's always a great time when we can have a conversation with Rabbi Yoel Karen, as was the case in the last couple of minutes right here on Prophecy Today. Rabbi, thank you so very much. We appreciate always your input, and I know we're going to talk again down the line.
Thank you for having me.